T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We don't tell you to boycott anything. We tell you to enjoy all sports in Boston.
No escaping it.
This is Marloni and Fourier.
Schwarber again, way off the line. He'll try that backhand flip. He makes the play. Raises his hands in the air as a touchdown signal. Pumps his fist, and now he tips his cap to the crowd.
You got to be able to make fun of yourself every once in a while, right?
Don't worry. We saved you a seat on the bandwagon.
Pavetta barking as he comes off the mound. His seventh punch out.
How hot is Kike Hernandez?
Back by the wall.
Just another day where the Red Sox continue to prove everyone wrong.
I get it. They're so far behind that team. It's not even close.
That team is good, man. That team is no joke.
And the Patriots got a win, a victory, not even the moral kind.
It's 22-9. What are you doing there?
It's Lou. It's Christian.
Two letters, BS. Ball security.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, Bill ball. Sucks.
Oh, no.
It's Marloni and Fourier on WEEI.
Yes, 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 we are enjoying ourselves here on a Patriots Monday. What do you say, Fourier?
Hello, Lou.
How the hell are you?
It sounds worse now that I hear it for real.
Wow.
Like when I was doing it last night. Totally kidding, by the way.
Holy smokes, you are right after Bill.
Well, why am I supposed to know what BS stands for?
Mac Jones, he's going to join us at 2:30, so we've got that. But we've also got Game 4. A lot of people feel like we'd have a Game 4. I'm going to stick with my tradition and not really going to pick against them, so they just keep winning. Because when I pick with them, they just lose. And it was a beautiful thing over the weekend. Fourier, I don't know what you thought about the weekend going into it. Probably didn't feel good. I really didn't feel too good. Didn't think too much of Sale. He didn't look good, but what makes these guys go are their bats. Look at what they did. This is what you didn't do against McClanahan. You let some rookie go out there, set the tone, get confident. They put up some runs, and you never made him sweat. You never made him look up in the stands and realize where he is. There was no nerves. And then you came alive. Shane Boz, great right-handed rookie. 2 1/3, 6 hits, 3 earned runs. Dennis Rasmussen, another rookie. 2 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 6 hits. You came out and they smoked him.
Boz.
In games 2 and games 3. 1-6, Kike to Schwarber to Devers to Bogey, Verdugo, JD. They hit .403 with 7 home runs and 16 RBIs. They absolutely pounded this team. And you talk about offense, getting the crowd going. Man, I was there yesterday. You get that crowd going, just like we saw against the Yankees, that's what it does. Even in Tampa in game 2, got to get the offense going. Got to keep swinging the bats. We'll worry about the pitching later. But for right now, they could swing their way all the way through this series. And it is a beautiful thing that they have woken up. I love it.
Yeah. I tell you what, I feel like the luckiest person in the room is Chris Sale. Like, after the terrible start that he had on, what, Saturday, and then they actually come back and win that game, and then you have, the everything that happened last night, 13 innings into a long-ass game, too. Nobody's even talking about him. And
no.
I'm lucky for him that he doesn't have to address it, because at this point, nobody even cares. It's 2-1 right now.
That's it.
2-1 right now.
Swing it.
And I would say, listen, do me a favor, Alex. Do me a favor, Red Sox. Don't act like you're playing with house money, because that's what David Culley did last night. David Culley, head coach of the Houston Texans, acted like he was playing with house money. What a dope. Okay, we'll get to that later, okay? But I want to say something because, you know, doing the post game, watching the game, all I hear is this is an ugly win. This is an ugly win. They're lucky to win. They're lucky this. Okay, for the record, there is no such thing as an ugly win.
That was ugly.
It's fine. You call it sloppy. The fact is, it's a win, and they needed it so desperately. They needed to stop the bleeding. They have a heartbeat. faint. I can barely hear it sometimes. And you may say, oh, they'll never get it. They'll never make it to November. Doesn't matter. Here's the thing. You want to talk about ugly football? You talk about the first half of that game. You talk about the second play of the Houston Texans after Mac Jones throws a pick, second play of the second half. And the second play of the Houston Texans was a freaking flea flicker, which never works. And if it does work, it's never a touchdown. But Joan Williams bites on it, and they score a touchdown. You're like, holy crap. Are you freaking kidding me? But let's talk about good-looking football. Let's talk about lipstick on a pig, even if you want to go that way. So Hunter Henry scores. Good drive. A tight end scores. Gets a touchdown. Second in 2 weeks. Defense comes out. They need to get a stop. So three and out. They get a stop. They punt. And what does the offense do with those four or five new offensive linemen that hadn't gotten a start all year? What do they do? 15 plays, 84 yards in 7 minutes.
7 minutes was the key.
7 minutes. 7 minutes. Yes, you also overcame a holding penalty by Kendrick Bourne. You also were the beneficiary of unsportsmanlike conduct, which was the right call because the guy hit Mac Jones right underneath his chin. But you closed out the game, something that you were not able to do the first 4 weeks of the season. You couldn't do it against Miami, and you couldn't do it against the Saints. Now, listen, the Houston Texans suck. David Culley should not be a head coach in the NFL. I'm not going to act like that doesn't exist. But as far as like victories that you needed, as far as like, okay, can we at least have a good plane ride home? Can we at least have the same record, the Chiefs? Okay, can we do that? They're 2-3. You're 2-3. You have the second best record in the AFC East right now. Fine. That's all that matters. Ugly wins don't exist. Okay, they don't. They needed this so desperately. And
well,
I would
we said
say
on
it's,
Friday,
it's an unbelievable accomplishment them to do this.
You can feel like ugly wins don't exist. I feel like they do because I saw it yesterday. But we said Friday, I don't care. I don't care how ugly it is. It doesn't matter. This needs to be a W. Next week will determine your season if people want to jump on or not against Dallas, whether you're 3-3 or 2-4 with the Jets waiting, whatever. At some point, you got to win at home. But I think it was an ugly loss, ugly win. It really
Lou,
was.
What is ugly about
they
your
played
defense?
Like crap. Your defense sucked.
Fine.
For the first three drives, they scored in all of them.
I would say
in the first half.
I would say the problems are
and
still there.
They gave it up in the second half once again.
The problems are still there. Nothing has changed for me. They still cough it up. They still put themselves in crappy situations. I mean, that's their biggest issue. But nothing is ugly about back-to-back scores in Mac Jones' first ever game-winning drive to win the game. And I will just add this.
Houston gave
not only
game.
This. No.
Yeah, they did.
Listen, okay, fine. That's my point. I said they got cute. They thought they were playing with house money. You still had to close the game out. Now, they should have closed it out against Miami. They couldn't do because that team sucks, okay? Now we know that the Miami Dolphins suck, okay? They should have done it against the New Orleans Saints. The defense couldn't get a stop. So Mac Jones never actually got an opportunity to win the game. This guy has got game-winning drives written all over his face. Like, I think he craves it. He wants the defense to screw up so he can win the game. Like, that's his DNA. I'm a winner. I want the ball when it matters most. So, listen, you got a heartbeat. That's all that matters. I don't think the Patriots are a good team, and I don't think their issues are going away. It's the same old crap. But they did have less penalties. They still had turnovers. I don't know what the deal is with Damian Harris. I don't know what it is. Like you can tell this guy till he's blue in the face. Hey, hold on to the football. The guy pops it out. Is it bad ball security or a really good defensive play?
All right, so the Patriots, Foyer says it's not an ugly win because there's no such thing, but still, it was a win that wasn't pretty. How about that? A win that wasn't pretty? Is that another way of saying ugly?
No, that's just you trying to, move into
25-22. The Red Sox, however, they did win a couple of games, and I think they're all pretty. I think every single one of them are pretty. I absolutely loved it. And when we come back, I want to talk about a little bit of the controversy. A little bit of the controversy late, this Renfro and Kiermaier double, ground rule double. We'll get into that, talk a lot of Sox here again. Mac Jones is going to join us at 2:30. It's going to be a lot of Sox today, people. Buckle in, get ready for it. Oh, and by the way, when we come back, it's a little something here our producers put together. You really don't want to miss it. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Here's what they think about
me. Oh, if the team's good, the fans will come back.
I think that ship has sailed.
I don't know if it's done forever, but I mean,
I kind of think it is.
Here's what they think.
They were trying to give away some tickets.
Here's what they think about.
They were selling to college students for $9 a pop, is what the thing was.
Here's what they think about.
That's why the crowd was raucous, because it was some young college kids who got into the ballpark for nothing.
Here's what they think about.
And by the way, keep receipts. That crowd's going to suck.
I hope fans continue to not go.
Everyone, Lou Maloney and everyone else. Tape this and play it on your show a million times.
Don't show up to these Orioles series.
That crowd's going to be dead as a doornail on Sunday.
The team thinks you're stupid.
We have people calling in and telling us that there were more Yankees fans outside the ballpark early on than there were Red Sox fans.
So are you planning on going? If you are, shame on you.
That place is going to be an effing wake.
God damn, I'm glad y'all set it off.
Devers was telling me it's been the loudest that he's heard it in a while.
They're not winning a game.
Stole one here in Tampa, and now we're going back to Fenway at best of three series. With home field advantage. I like it.
Winning run at first. Young Luis Patino delivers, and there's a drive left field, high and deep, back by the wall. Gone! Red Sox win it! Christian Vasquez! A two-run homer, can you believe it? 6-4 Boston in 13 innings.
Who you fooling?
Ooh, that boy Ice Cube. Know this, Red Sox fans. You got an entire station rooting for them to lose each and every single game. And Fred, I did keep my receipts. I kept it right there. I went with my kid. The place was fantastic. That's my receipt, the photo of me and my son at a ball game. Oh, boy. I mean, sometimes you just got to sit back and say, you know what? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I underestimated an entire fan base. Maybe I underestimated a sports town that loves sports, that enjoys watching games, that enjoys watching their teams rather than crap down their throat constantly and think they're going to keep coming back to you. Maybe just admit you're wrong. You're rooting for them to lose. Sox fans, Boston fans, you got an entire station rooting for one of your teams to lose just so they could be right because you don't care. Well, I think you've already proven them wrong. I think that was fantastic. That a boy, Ice Cube.
Yeah. Friend of the show, by the way.
Yeah.
Ice Cube, friend of the show.
The home of the sports. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that what they call themselves?
The home of Boston sports, to be, yes.
Yeah, meanwhile,
Three out of the four.
Outwardly root against the team and tell you not
three
to
out of
go.
The four. actually, four out of the
so
five.
Good.
Four out of the five. They throw the rest in there.
Oh, I love it. You freaking fools. Keep doing it. No, really, keep doing it.
I would say that.
Hashtag frauds.
I'm laughing at you, Fred. I got my receipt, Freddy. You two big Jim and you Jonesy. You idiots. You like think people aren't enjoying this? I hope they win the whole damn thing. I'll laugh my ass off all the way down there, wherever the hell your new station
LA.
Is. I'll just pick it up in front of it. It'll be hysterical. You guys are fools. Oh, my God. How much fun is this team? And these guys are rooting for them to lose. So
not
they
anymore.
Can be
no,
right.
No. Hold on. Wait a second. To quote
Shaughnessy,
Shaughnessy
walked into a Chinese restaurant and the game wasn't on and thinks that nobody likes sports
of
it.
Yeah, but that was like a Sunday article. Today, it was now they're suddenly likable. Like they're suddenly, the team is suddenly likable. Like all of a sudden, all it took was Kyle Schwarber to screw up a transfer from a ground ball to him to Eovaldi, throwing it 10 feet over his head. And then he actually makes the play. He mocks himself. He tips his own cap. And now everybody loves this team.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Like, all of a sudden, they got personality.
I heard someone told me the fifth producer was in there today in the hub across the street because that's the only guy that knows baseball. That zone didn't say a word the first hour because he never watched it. He went home and just watched game film again.
It was a Patriot game.
He never watched. He didn't say a word the first
game.
Hour.
It's a Pats game. What are you talking about?
No, you people. They're making you look like fools. It's such an enjoyable game. Especially when they're fun like this.
I would say it's
oh, I'm having a blast.
I will say, like, I mean, obviously the scene at Fenway was unreal. But all across baseball, to be honest with you, you see what's going on in the south side of Chicago right now. The way the Chicago White Sox are playing, the way that
sick.
Crowd, all dressed in black, it looks and reminds me of a college football rivalry game. The whiteout at Penn State, you know, the pom-poms that they use in Oregon. Like how they just their overall interest. And I would say from beginning to end, standing up at a baseball game is absurd. Like it shouldn't happen, but here we are. Like to me, that's, I don't know if it's a sign of like how desperate people are for sports or how just unbelievable cool the games have been.
I'll tell you, I was at that game and everywhere I looked, it was either like father, son, or it was like.
No, it was
like
all geriatrics,
young people 20s.
Can't stand up.
Everywhere, like young college kids.
$9 tickets.
Just out of college kids.
Free
like
tickets.
Everybody, like just boozing, having a blast. It was.
It's a holiday.
And
though.
I haven't been to a game like that, usually in the booth or I'm watching a TV, but to be at a game and see the crowd. It was fantastic.
It was a great atmosphere.
Wow, it was so much fun.
I'll tell you what, overall, like the product between the Patriots and the Red Sox, it's the product that the Red Sox have right now is so much better than what the Patriots give.
Well, I've always heard that too. The Patriots just end, then I got to turn that game on. Blech. And then it just dies. Blech. I don't know. You tell me. You watch that product at 1 o'clock, and then you turn on the Red Sox game, and you see that excitement?
Well,
and you
I
see
mean,
Schwarber going deep and apologizing and pumping his fist?
One's the playoffs, so, and then one's a, you know, not even a midseason game in, against a crappy team. But overall, the product for the year has been better.
Yeah.
Has been better.
It has. It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun there, and the games are a lot of fun. There was a huge controversial play in the 13th inning. Kiermaier up, two outs, 3-2 count. Yandy Diaz takes off at first base, and he hits what is a ground rule double. And I can be honest, at first it was like they were saying the same thing. Smoltz on the coverage. It's like I haven't really seen that play too often because the ball came back and it went over. He reached for it again. And it was a ground rule double. It's the correct call. The debate whether it's going to be changed or not, but it was a clean call. And a lot of questions now whether if there was intent, you know, what would have been different here? This was Sam Hoelberg, the crew chief, talking about that exact thing. We all know it's a ground rule double, but what if there was intent?
We went to replay just to make sure that, one, nothing was done intentional by the fielder. If that were the case, if that's a different aspect of that rule, if it was intentionally kicked out, then it would have been from the time that the deflection, the intentional deflection happened, two bases from that time.
So that would have been, if that was the, if they felt like Renfro intentionally did it, and that's why they looked at it, but there was no intention. You could see.
No.
And the dead giveaway was Renfro actually reaching for it over. That would have been the worst thing if he actually caught it. He should have just let it go, right? What if he had caught that ball, it's man on third, one run. But if they felt like he just swatted it with his glove, then that's exactly what it would have been like.
Debating whether it's they made the right call is stupid. They made the right call. And there's I've seen a lot of people, you mentioned this, some other people mentioned an older play that involved the Tampa Bay Rays, the same scenario, deflected off a player, went into the stands, ground rule double. Now, I can tell you what's going to happen in the offseason. They will sit there and dissect. They will dissect this play because I think, personally, like whether it's intentional or not, like the fact is that that guy, whoever knocks it out, like there should be some sort of punishment for it. Like you shouldn't be blamed because the guy gets in the way. They'll end up changing that rule somehow.
See, and I say when you watch a game, sometimes you just I feel like they should use umpires' discretion on that. I know that's
I feel
the
like
rule.
They did though.
No, they didn't. I mean, because umpire discretion would have been like Diaz scores and put Kiermaier on third. Instead, it just went by the rule of the law, right? It's a ground rule double,
well,
two bases
got a
from the start
area.
Of the pitch. Well, that's
now
what I mean. But they have gray areas in baseball. They have, you know, fan interference. You know, when a fan reaches down and grabs the ball, a lot of people, they just think that's an automatic double. And it's not. It's not two bases. It's umpire discretion on that. In other words, if that ball went down to the corner, if Diaz was running on the pitch and that ball went down in the corner and Renfro went for it and it bounced up and a fan touched it, they would have went to replay, saw Diaz 10 feet from third base and said, we're going to board you to run. So when there's fan interference, it's not automatic double. It's not automatic two bases. They use umpire discretion on that play. So I would say you institute that rule for this one. It's not going to happen often because if Diaz wasn't running, then, you know, I don't think it's clear he's scoring. But 3-2, two outs, or if the guy's stealing on the pitch and that happens, then I think you look at it and say, yeah, he's going to score easily. So you could have done it. They'd got the rule right. And it's funny, I sat back and said, well, I mean, you know, whatever, Vasquez had a two-run bomb anyways. Well, you can't do that. Okay, but, I mean, you want to reward the game to the Tampa Bay Rays because they got screwed, even though you can't do that either. But it seems like people want to do that. So Vasquez's two-run bomb, you win the game 6-5. Even more drama. It would have been fantastic. But I think they got the rule right. But when I watch the game, I feel like they should change it. You know, they really should do umpire discretion like they do already with fan interference. I want to go to a call real quick. Let's go to John in the car. Go ahead, John. What's going on? By the way, Mac Jones is going to join us here in a few minutes. Go ahead.
Hey, Nick Pivetta had a total jump on my back, boys. Yeah. Like I'm gonna take this team all the way. It wasn't just running off the mound in the dances and the fist pumps. It was I'm in the dugout first. I'm high fiving everybody, and my command is unbelievable last night. I mean, that performance, if they go on and win the series and if they go far in the playoffs, that performance has to be one of the best bullpen performances the Red Sox history, postseason history.
I'd say Nathan Eovaldi.
Well, I think Eovaldi's up there too. Yeah, John. Is that all?
I mean, he did, but Lou, when you're there for like 12 hours, you kind of forget what happened in the first hour of the game. Obviously, you know, the voice is gone here. And the straw that is in the Red Sox drink that is Kike is unbelievable at this point. I mean, what else can he do? What is he going to do tonight? He's going to do something. You know what's going to happen.
Oh, he's been fantastic. Now, 8-for-11. Thanks for the call, John. 8-for-11 the last two games. So we'll see here. We'll see what happens here tonight. By the way, I want to take a break here because we're supposed to have Mac Jones on the other side of it. We'll talk to him. We'll do a little football. We'll do a little baseball as it goes on because I want to get into Pivetta's performance and what you expect tonight from Erod. We will do that right after we talk to Mac Jones here in about 5 minutes. We'll see.
More of Merloni and Fourier on WEEI.
Jones looking end zone for Henry. He's got it! Touchdown! A clutch pass on third down, and the Patriots are an extra point away from tying it at 22.
It is a Patriots Monday here with Merloni and Fourier. Pats with a 25-22 win down in Houston. And it's 2:30, which means it's time to talk to the quarterback. By the way, a quarterback interview is sponsored by Mass General Cancer Center. Every day amazing. And by Northeast Men's Health, the expert in men's sexual health at northeastmenshealth.com. With that, joining us on the Harbor One hotline right now is the quarterback, Mac Jones. Mac, Christian and Lou, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
We
good.
Are good. So always good to get a win, right? Might not have been the prettiest thing, but still a win's a win.
That's a true statement.
How was that plane ride home?
Long, but I just relaxed a little bit and everyone's, you know, hanging out, watching movies or watching the game film and stuff like that. So it was good.
You know, Mac, after the game, you were talking about execution, whatever, but you said your team, you felt like competed more than them. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, I think just sometimes you always don't, you know, might not execute the game plan exactly how it's supposed to go. And I feel like we definitely did a good job of, you know, running the plays. But I turned the ball over and there were some turnovers and stuff like that and some missed opportunities, you know, by me. But I thought the guys around me competed really hard and just played together and played really hard offense and defense and special teams too. Special teams did a good job making some critical plays in the game as well. So it took everybody, but it wasn't as, you know, pretty, you know, after you watch the game film as maybe, you know, you want it to be, but we at least competed and we didn't quit. So that was something that was a positive.
So you got your first NFL game winning drive. How does that feel for you? Like, is it something you've been, you know, excited about achieving? Is it something you've been thinking about?
Yeah, I think just when you get in those situations, you just revert back to what you been taught / trusting your training. So I just kind of, you know, in those situations, we've been through them a bunch of times here, and we try to do a situation every day at practice or more than one situation. So a lot of times it is the gotta have it, and I think we just did a good job executing, and obviously Nick made the kick at the end to seal it off. And you know, when you look at it, there's some things we could have done to not even be in that position, but at the end of the day, I said that last week, you just got to score one more point than the other team, and we were lucky enough to do that yesterday. So.
Yeah, Mac, I feel like from afar, I feel like you look forward to those chances and those opportunities. I feel like that's like you secretly hope you get that opportunity. Is that just because of the, you know, the opportunity to just make a difference?
Yeah, I think just every competitor that there is, they want to be out on the field trying to help their team win. And a lot of guys on our team do a good job of that. They want to be in those like pressured situations. And obviously when the game's on the line, it's the hardest time, but it's also the most fun, because when you finally get the win and you realize, you know, we can win some games and keep the ball rolling, then it feels great. So it's just, so just being ready for those situations as best you can and trusting the people around you to make the plays and the offensive line to block their guys like they did yesterday. They did a great job the whole game, and so that was great.
We're talking to Mac Jones, quarterback of the New England Patriots. And Mac, Nick Falk, rather, 4-for-4 field goals, right? And he's been outstanding for you guys this year. But what can you guys do? It seems like when you're on that fringe, right, of the high red zone, what can you guys do to maybe improve maybe the production and get more touchdowns on the board?
I think just eliminating self-error, which starts with me, whether that's calling the play right and making sure everyone's on the same page to executing the little things. Once you're inside the 30-yard line, it takes one bad play, and you're going to end up kicking a field goal. So it's good that we've identified that, and we just have to it's not like we have to come up with all these creative ways. We just have to execute our bread-and-butter plays and get the ball moving positively, and then the touchdowns will come. But if we shoot ourselves in the foot, then we take a step back and we kick a field goal, which it's not always bad to do that, but doing that every time, you can't win by, you know, a lot of points that we want to. So
we're talking to Mac Jones, quarterback of the New England Patriots. All right, so tell me, be honest now, okay? Don't hold back. What did you write in your improvement journal this week? come on.
I'm actually here right now. I'm just watching and looking at some stuff, but I think I let the other team touch the ball too much. So whether I was throwing it away or not, or just the attempt at the pass needs to be better. So either our guy touches it or nobody touches it. And I can work on that, but I'm not going to be gun-shy or anything like that. Just there's more methodical way to go about it and trying to get the guys the ball, and then if it's not there, then go to my next read or throw it away so that there's no plays where I put the ball in danger. I did that far too many times yesterday. So
when you do have an interception, or you have a couple, you know, near misses, near interceptions, like, what's the conversation like on the sideline with Josh McDaniels? Like, how does he coach you up? Is it, hey, you know, is he what, you know, WTF, or is it, hey, I still love you, we'll get him next time? What's that like?
Yeah, it's both. I mean,
both?
He does a good job coaching me hard, but at the same time, like, sometimes I do things that in the game, for whatever reason, maybe I saw it one way and it really wasn't. So he just likes to have those conversations with me, and we've done a great job communicating during the game. And, you know, he lets me play, which is great, because you don't want to be out there like feeling like you're, you know, trying to be one thing. You just go out there and play. And each week I just have to improve on doing it the right way. And I mean, I feel like I honestly took a little bit of a step back there just in trying to do exactly what I'm supposed to do. Like I said, I let the other team touch the ball too many times, and I'll improve on that this week. But it just goes back to execution and trusting the game plan, and just listening to Josh and all the guys in the quarterback room and taking the advice that I need to do well each week.
So do you feel like he's given you more freedom now to kind of, do you feel like he's trusting you more this far into the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, each week we've installed the game plan and talk through some stuff, and it's all about communication with me and him and what we think we can do and what we can't do. But at the end of the day, Josh is, I mean, he understands the game extremely well, obviously, and my job is to execute it from my position, and everyone else's job is to execute it from their position. So whatever play he calls, I'm going to be ready to go, and he's done a good job mixing it up and things like that, and we'll just continue to find ways to be more consistent. But a lot of that just comes from repetition and doing it right all the time instead of doing it right maybe 80% of the time, so that we can finish some of those drives and, you know, put some more points on the board.
We're talking to Mac Jones. And Mac, the two games going into this one, you were hit, I think, 23 times and sacked 6 times. And then the word before the game that 4/5 of your offensive line were not going to be playing in this game. But you come out of this one, 4 QB hits and I think just 1 sack. So what would you say about your offensive line and the week that they had preparing, knowing who was going to be out?
Yeah, I think they played great, and they did a great job just focusing on their fundamentals and what they're supposed to do, and listening to the calls and executing them. And, you know, with all the noise, I said that yesterday, with all the noise surrounding the game and a lot of people were going to be out and stuff, I think they just did a great job of molding together. And, you know, I'm going back to OTAs, I've worked with a bunch of different linemen and a bunch of different skill players. So I trust everybody on our team on the offense, and whoever needs to step up to make plays will do that. And that's exactly what they did. And I'm really proud of them. And, you know, it's one game, and we're just going to keep building off that, because that was good progress. And we can see that progress is being made, and we'll continue to do that. So
are you guys ever going to get a touchdown for Jacoby Myers? It's like, when is that going to happen? Like, we have, it's now an ongoing bet. And I know you guys tried, seemed like quick little screen to him on the left on one of your drives, one of your guys' possession. But how important is that for you guys to get him in the end zone?
Yeah, I think that will come. And Jacoby's a team player, and he's not worried about scoring touchdowns all the time. He's open in a lot of the plays, and, you know, he gets open, and that's what he's supposed to do. And sometimes, you know, in football, you score and you don't score. But at the end of the day, he's an unselfish player that does exactly what he's supposed to do, you know, 99% of the time. And he's in the right spot. And I think that, you know, you can't just sit there and say, like, oh, I want to score so bad. Or, you know, you try and get him to score or whatever. It just happens naturally. And he'll have a lot of touchdowns. And he just got to keep doing what he's doing, because what he's doing is getting open and blocking hard in the run game, which some people might not notice. But he does a great job just executing his job.
So, Mac, a couple times you lined up on the outside in that Wildcat formation. So a couple things. Number one, have you talked to Josh about possibly catching the ball? And how are your hands? Your wide receiver?
Yeah, I got good hands. But I think there's some guys on our team that definitely have better hands than me. So we'll just keep throwing it to them.
So just speaking of hands, you know, Red Sox, like, we just, you know, Blue's a former baseball player. You know, I played when I was in Little League. And and most quarterbacks, I feel like they're pitchers also. Like, is baseball at any point in time part of your life?
Yeah, a little bit. I think, you know, growing up, I played, and it was a lot of fun. I played pitcher and stuff, and I just ended up I couldn't do both. I felt like it kind of just messed with my throwing motion in football, because I would go to baseball practice maybe at like 6 o'clock, and then at 7:30 or 8, I'd go to flag football. So it would be like the cross between that. I didn't want to do that. I couldn't throw as well with doing both of them. So, but the Red Sox, I definitely grew up actually watching them. My grandfather was a huge Red Sox fan. And, I'm glad to see them doing well, and hope they can pull out the series. So,
yeah. So based on where you grew up, I was going to say, what was your team? Or, I mean, was, you know, the Atlanta Braves? I mean,
the Braves, right?
I mean, honestly, I watched, like I said, my grandfather, he loved the Red Sox, so we watched them, and I didn't watch a ton of baseball growing up, but...
You remember Lou playing?
No, Maddox just abused me. Don't worry about it.
You do remember Lou, right? You said yes. You remember Lou Maloney, right? No?
Yeah. No, I don't think you do. By the way, we were talking about that, too. So that final drive, right? We were talking about that game-winning drive. You had that roughing the passer, he hit you kind of in the head. But it seemed like there was like a little bit of a delay. Then you were just like, oh, yeah, I should start bitching to the referees about it. So did that sort of catch you? Because it didn't seem like you argued right away.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of a bang-bang play. And, I don't know. It just is one of those things where they either get it or they don't. And we don't want to be in that situation, but they definitely – you know, made the call, and it is what it is, and it helped us on that drive. So,
all right.
So, you know, real quickly though, I just saw that Damon Harris has a rib injury. It looks like he's day to day. Any reaction to that? Have you seen him?
I've not seen him today, but I texted him, and you know, we have an off day today or whatever, so we're just trying to get in here and recover. And I think he's doing good. I saw him after the game, and he's walking around, and we always talk after the game. So I'll have to shoot him another text here. And he's a great player, and He's running the ball hard, and I think we just need to keep moving forward there. And him, all the other running backs, just keep working in practice on, you know, creating positive plays and holding on to the ball and doing everything that we're supposed to do. And they've done a great job all year in protection and all that, so they're going to keep getting better. So,
okay, Mac, by the way, one more for me. So you guys, you've seen Bill Belichick after a loss, right? There's been three of them here, but I'm curious, what is Nick Saban like after a loss? Because it doesn't happen very often. I don't know if you saw the upset the other night with A&M, but what is that next morning like with him?
Yeah, he doesn't take losing very lightly, but as does Coach Belichick. So I think it's just, it's part of the game, and I didn't get a chance to really watch their game because I was already asleep, but it's a tough place to play where they were at, and they're going to be ready for next week. And, you know, Coach Saban, he does a good job of bouncing back and keeping everybody motivated, just like we do here. So they'll be fine in the future.
All right, so it's time for the quarterback question of the week, sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in men's sexual health with locations in Dedham, near Legacy Place, and in Salem, New Hampshire, or online at northeastmenshealth.com. All right, Mac, the best movie that Mac Jones knows all the words to is what?
Oh, gosh. I don't even know if there is one that I know all the words to.
Your favorite really movie. Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking like quotable movies. I'd say for you, it'd probably be something like, I don't know.
Favorite movie?
Step Brothers, Anchorman, something like that.
I do like Step Brothers is funny. I have a brother, so we always thought that was always funny just watching that movie. I don't get a chance to watch a ton of movies. I like The Longest Yard. It's a great movie.
Yes.
But other than that, I always fall asleep and my girlfriend, she gets mad at me, so I need to be better at staying awake during the movie.
So if you were to pick, if they were to do a Step Brothers 2 and you had to pick your castmate, had to be somebody on your team right now, who would be cast as your stepbrother?
Oh, Lordy, that's a great question.
Yeah, come on. Who do you hang out with the most? It can't be Hoyer, because he's like, he would be the dad in the movie.
Yeah, there you go. Hoyer would be the dad.
Yeah, but you need a brother, someone you can mess around with.
Oh, gosh. I don't know on that one. I'll have to get back to you.
Well, think about it. We'll get the answer next week.
Next week, I promise I'll have the answer.
All right. All right, appreciate it, my man. Listen, Mac Jones, good luck next week. You got the Jets, and wish you guys all the best.
All right, thanks.
All right, there you have it. Mac Jones joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. Listen, he's got to just think about what kind of movie he likes, right?
Can we turn our beds into bunk beds?
Just give me one movie.
I would say,
Step Brothers.
Yeah, I mean, like old school Step Brothers, Anchorman. But you also got to think about his age. So if he's like 23, I mean, like I was going to say Squid Game. There's this whole thing that everybody's watching now.
Oh, my God,
Squid
Game.
Squid Game
is
like insane.
Wild. I just started watching it this weekend.
The kid's like 11, 12. And I'm like, what are you watching? Everybody was getting shot.
Everybody's getting shot in the head.
And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, yeah, it's fine. I know it's fake. I'm like, I know, but what are we doing here?
As long as he knows.
And it's all.
It's a movie, Dad. I'm like, I know, but.
Dad, it's make-believe, okay? Nobody's really dying. That guy's an actor, Dad.
By the way, Mac Jones was 6 years old when Anchorman was released.
All right, so none of those shows are going to be him. Like, what would be, like, you're even older than he is.
Yeah, I'm like, so, almost like, 10 years older.
So I'm like, I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even know, like, what is his, what would he be into?
It wouldn't be like a Sandler movie.
Her hair smells like cinnamon!
Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison.
Too
like, those
old,
are my
old,
movies.
Old,
that's,
old, old. Those are
way
my
before
movies,
his time.
Though. I'm older than you. I
think we
got
to get him talking movies or something else.
I would say it's probably not like Goodfellas and Godfather and, you know, any of those things.
What do you make of Mac Jones? Because I think I think a lot of people would look at him and just say, well, I mean, he's got 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. And I would tell you, right now, he's been the best, most consistent thing on your football team for 5 games. That's what I would say.
Here's what I heard in that interview. Okay, and he's really cryptic and careful about what he gives us because he's paranoid about getting in trouble. I feel like, and I kind of notice it on the sideline, especially when things get hectic. I'm just every now and then they show Josh McDaniels, and I'm looking for some sort of nonverbal expression of him freaking out, and he doesn't. They let him go. I feel like they're giving him more freedom. He kind of hinted at it. I feel like they're giving him more freedom, and they're trusting him more. It's like the first 3 weeks. We're like this mini audition. You know, listen, we just, we can't risk it, right? So we're just, even though I think you can do it, I can't risk it in real time. Dress rehearsal, dress rehearsal. Now, with that come from behind victory, that, you know, his first ever NFL comeback win where he led it, you know, man, it was a great job by him taking that hit, overcoming the penalties, driving the ball down the field, getting, making big throws that mattered. Hunter Henry, all these guys. Like, and I think, like, this is what he likes. This is how he's wired. He wants these opportunities. He thrives in these opportunities. So I think that the, I think the playbook is going to expand. That's what I'll say after that interview. I think, and it's going to have to, because Dallas is going to put up a bunch of points.
All right, listen, our quarterback, a conversation with the quarterback brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots. Proud partners committed to an active game plan on the field and off. And now it's time to review this week's powerful play brought to you by Enel. It was a 3rd and 6 from the Houston's 13. Mac Jones draws back, hits Hunter Henry in the corner of the end zone to tie the game at 22. Enel, the official energy partner of Gillette Stadium. All right, listen, when we come back, we're going to do a quick little football segment, too. I want you to, I want to talk about whether that win on Sunday, like, was that confirmed the way you thought what this team was, or does that change your opinion at all? Also, next hour, we're going to dive into what to expect tonight from Erod, what you saw from Pavetta. We'll do a lot of Sox, but coming up next, we're going to do a little Patriots right here on Maloney and Fourier.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.